Time now to talk colour. And the colour pink is currently burned into everyone's eyeballs with the new Barbie movie. But one woman over in Edinburgh has been fighting for the right to keep her pink front door after being ordered to change the colour or face a hefty fine. She lives in a neighbourhood which is a conservation area in the World Heritage Site. There are many other brightly painted doors in that neighbourhood which haven't been asked to change their colour, but the one that is pink has. So we thought we'd ask a leading international authority in the field of behavioural colour and design psychology why colour is so divisive. Karen Haller joins us now. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very well. Very well. Thanks for joining us. And pink is certainly the it colour at the moment, but it is a divisive colour, isn't it?
Yeah, well, any colour can be. It's not just pink, because colour is emotion and we're having an emotional experience to the colours that we're seeing all the time. We're just not consciously aware of that. And colour can influence how we think, how we feel and our behaviour. So there's obviously something about pink in this particular conservation area that they have an aversion to. And I think her, the first time she put a pink door, it was a really, really, you could almost say it was like a Barbie pink. It was a really, really bright pink. Mm. And quite often, it depends on the cultural belief or it depends on the society or the even the social class. But my thinking is that they might have thought that that pink looked a bit tacky, or it looked, it didn't look sophisticated enough. And I'm thinking that's probably what was going on. And they, and a lot of people complain when they don't like a colour because they think it brings the neighbourhood down, for instance. Mm, mm. So I think it was last year we spoke about somebody who painted their whole house red in New Zealand. And there was a big uproar about that.
Right.
And it's because people are worried. Will it bring my house price down? What will other people say? So people are normally more worried about what other people will think. But this lady really loved pink, and that's why she went for it. And of course, she did change it, and she's changed it now to a pink that's it's a white with a little tint of pink.
Yes, like and a dusky sort of pink. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all like an icy pink. So it's barely pink. It's barely there. And I think she picked a colour hoping that and now that one has been accepted because it's like an off-white almost. Mm, mm, mm. You can still see it's pink.
So why do colours affect how we feel and, I guess, in a sense, affect our behaviour? Obviously, it's got the people over there angry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it happens more often than you realise. But what the science that we have around it at the moment, because with colour, with anything, with science, it's always evolving, always shifting and changing as we learn more stuff, more information. But at the moment, our understanding is when light enters our eyes, it strikes a cone. And what that does is it sends electrical messages to the brain and eventually to the hypothalamus, which governs our appetite, our body temperature, our sleep, our nervous system, our sexual functions. It governs, you know, everything. So what that means is that colour just isn't a stimulus. It's just not a visual stimulus. It creates psychological and physiological changes within us. And so therefore that's why we have an emotional experience. So that's the psychology of colour. Mm. But it has such a it's so personal to us because it can hold a memory. It can so, for instance, a lot of my clients, when I'm working with them, they absolutely cannot stand the colour of their school uniform, and so they will refuse to use that colour because it holds that memory. I really couldn't stand yellow for a long time until I worked out there was something that happened in my childhood. And then when I worked through what that was and realised what it was, like now I love yellow. And there can also be a cultural belief. So a lot of women actually don't like pink. It's been vilified for years because they always thought it made them look weak and needy and that they you know, weren't able to stand up on their own feet. They looked very girly. And they're the they're the adverse psychological traits of pink. So a lot of people were really feeling that, and therefore not liking pink because they didn't want to come across as that. They wanted to come across as strong, independent women, and they thought pink made them look weak and not independent.
In New Zealand, of
So
course, pink is used by the Breast Cancer Foundation. It's the colour that people wear pink ribbons, etc. I'm not sure that's an international thing or whether it's just a New Zealand thing,
it
but
is. You know, it's an international thing.
Right.
And they did change from having a very, very soft pink. And very soft pink, the positive of that is nurturing and compassionate and empathy. And it's the caring, it's the cuddles color. You know, if cuddles were a color, it would be pink. And it used to be that very soft pink. And then they went, is it in New Zealand where it's quite a bright, vibrant pink?
I'm sorry, what
Is
was
that
that?
the pink? Is it a now in New Zealand, is the pink that is being used for the breast cancer campaigns, is it the really bright and vibrant pink?
No, not exactly. No, it's a pleasant pink. It's not shocking pink.
It's still a soft,
Yes,
because
yes.
over here, I'm based in the UK, and over here it's the really blue, cold, hard pink. It's that really bright, like a magenta pink. And that pink is more, because they talk about breast cancer as fighting the battle, and it's almost like going to war. This bright, vibrant pink is very much about showing your independence, showing that you're no pushover, showing that you've got a lot of strength. So they actually went from this very soft pink to the very the very bright,
More strident,
saturated pink.
yeah,
Yeah,
more
yeah,
aggressive.
like we like. Yeah, almost. Yeah, and like we mean business. So
Yes,
that's the pink it's gone to here. Yeah.
I'd be intrigued to find out. So, what sort of people come to you for your knowledge of behavioural colour and design? What are they
Well,
looking for?
I say that everyone's in the colour business. So there's not. So I will get businesses come to me because for their interiors. So for the office, so they want to improve productivity, they want to reduce absenteeism, they want to help their staff focus, to be happier, the whole well-being, and to reach, because offices for decades were just in grey, and people would come in and sit in a grey office, which is not conducive at all for any kind of positive well-being or positive mental health or feelings. And they would go away and have these wonderful away days in nature, but then they would come back and they'd be back in grey again. So I work with a lot of companies of how we can use colour for positive good and for positive behaviour.
So what's a good
I
office
also work,
colour?
well, this is the thing. There's not just one, it's just not one colour. It's what people are doing, it's their function. It's what the output is, it's what the purpose is, it's what the managers, what positive behaviors they want to see in that particular space, because a finance company has to, or department has to work very differently to a sales team. Finance needs to really, really concentrate and kind of quiet. A sales team needs energy, and they need to be standing up, and they really need to have that energy to keep those sales calls going. So every team would need something different. So I've been in a lot of radio stations, and what a lot of them have, they have red in the radio stations, like where you're sitting,
Yes.
because you need to keep your energy up. You can't relax and all of a sudden go really mellow and quiet unless you're doing, classic FM. But if you're really this talk time, you've got to keep your energy up the whole time. So red is a color that can help really keep the energy going, but you don't want too much red because then you can sound a little bit hyper, and you can be then you can start getting exhausted.
I can
So
see
it's about
we're going to have to get the painters in on Monday morning.
not too much red, though, not too much. But
We've
I also
got
work with
pastel.
companies.
We're a pastel at the moment. Pastel blues, red and grey.
Yeah. Well, you would have to work a little bit harder to keep the energy going.
I do.
Yeah,
I
that would
do. I
just be.
promise.
Yeah, and you might find that the clothes you wear, you might be wearing colours to keep that energy up as well, because it's the colours we surround ourselves with. But I work with companies on their products, because they're selling to a certain target market. There's a certain audience, they need to attract that certain market to sell. Getting so back, everybody has a different reason.
Yeah. Getting back to the office, now you talked about the sales force that needs to get out there and get those sales. What's the colour there? Generally.
Well, one colour, because what I want to make sure is anyone that's listening, do not then just go, oh, my gosh, now we need to put, you know, wall, ceiling, floors, everything in this colour.
Yes.
Because it's all about the proportion, and it's also not just, we talked about before with the pink, it's not just pink, it's which kind of pink, because different saturations of the same colour has different meanings. But to have some... right, just some yellow, because what that does is that get the yellow, red, these are the colours that get you excited, right? These are the colours that motivate you and they get your energy up. So you don't want a lot because you don't want to sound manic, right?
Yes.
Because otherwise you're talking really fast, and it's funny, I'm not around red. I do normally just speak fast, but I just thought better to say that. But you want, it's the colours and the combination of colours, the proportion of colours that will help to influence the positive behaviours for the action and the behaviour that you want to do.
Mm.
So anything that's got a high energy is really good for sales calls, especially if you have to make cold calling, you know, that's like, because that's hard work. And so you do need to keep your energy up.
What about in your home, in the homes now, in a lot of homes, it seems to be white or off-white, or there's one here called half Spanish white, seems to be everywhere, you know. Mm. Obviously, they have pictures on walls and things like that to sort of balance it out a bit. But, you know, is that a good colour to be living in if you're wanting to relax in your living room?
Well, what some colours can do, and this is what grey and white, and this is not going to be popular what I'm about to say, is that we can have so white is a colour that helps us to cocoon ourselves and to switch off from the noise outside. Quite often when there's so much going on and we're so stimulated and there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of, you know, I have to say, there's a lot of news going out there that might not be positive and people might just feel overwhelmed, a lot going on in their work, there's a lot happening, and sometimes they just want to come home and they just want to shut everything off because it's all too much.
Mm.
And what people instinctively will go for are the very soft colours, or they'll go for white. And white can almost be like an anesthetic to our emotions. It's not a healthy state to be in because you don't want to shut your emotions off.
Mm-hmm.
What is better to have are colours around you that will support you in a positive way so that you don't feel that your life is in overwhelm, but also that you don't, you know, almost give yourself this anesthetic that you're no longer feeling, because as human beings, it's really important that we feel, not that we're just masking over and we're switching everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And then what grey does, because grey is, you know, that was such a popular colour, was that grey is a colour that allows us to hide.
Mm.
And that's also not necessarily a healthy state to always be in. So what it is it's to allow ourselves to be in a range of emotions, but not just to switch our emotions off and just to be in a place where we're not no longer feeling, because that's not healthy.
So just briefly, Karen, is there a good colour for your living room?
So, again, that's how you want to feel.
Right.
So you might – so, and I've got this all in my book, The Little Book of Colour. It's everything is in there so that people can go along and have a look, because some people want to be emotional, physically soothed. Now, physically soothing is actually pink, because red is physically stimulating.
Right.
Mentally soothing is light blue. So all the very soft colours – are soothing. So even beige or cream or lilac or a sage green, you know, all of these really soft colours, they're all soothing, but they soothe us in different ways. And then the colours that are much brighter and bolder, they're all, and saturated, they're very stimulating. So they stimulate the emotions. So if you're, and stimulate our behaviours.
Karen, lovely to talk to you. I've got to go. I really appreciate your time. Fascinating.
We could talk colours all night. Yes.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you.
It is 9 minutes to 10. That's Karen Heller, International Authority in Behavioural Colour and Design.